All righty. Well, let's look in the Bible, give you a little encouragement tonight, and encourage myself while we do it. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. And Matthew 11 is the starting place. We will leave that because it really is just the verse for the first point in tonight's sermon. Matthew chapter 11, very familiar, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more to do than you can handle. It feels that way. I mean, I think so. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is what he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. These folks that are gathered here tonight, including the preacher that is preaching, need to hear from you, Father, regarding this particular passage of Scripture and others that are similar, Father, because our lives and our the vessels in which you inhabit depend upon knowing what you said regarding the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And we ask you, please, to minister to us right there, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't recall a time when I've seen myself, so many of you, and so many of my friends weighed down with such a load of care. There's just a lot going on. And we have to be able to function with this load without getting so stressed out that we can't function. Or without getting so stressed out that we take it out on somebody else. I mean, it becomes target practice. And the question is then, how in those circumstances, how do you manage? You say, well, what I need is about a 2-year vacation. And that seems like it would work, but that's not the remedy that you find in the Bible. What you find in the Bible is some things like this particular passage that we're looking at right here, that God gives us, and he wants us to really, really, and truly concentrate on these things. I'll give you 5 of them tonight, and the first one is seek the Lord's face. Seek the Lord's face. He said, come unto me. It's a personal thing. I mean, you hear that, you think, okay, I'm going to come to him in prayer. Oh, that's part of what we're going to talk about tonight, but that's not what he said here. He didn't say, come unto me and pray and spill out your guts and tell me all about it and, you know, cry on my shoulder and I'll give you rest. He didn't say that. He said, come unto me. And so it's a personal thing. And with that we say, seek his face. And I will, he said, I will. It's a personal thing. I will give you rest. And when you're unrested, like I get from time to time, and in all the things that you have to deal with at one time, whatever direction they may be, it's just simply that we're not enjoying that time of fellowship with the Lord. You say, well, I'm praying, and you may very well, you may be right all over your list, and you may be getting your Bible reading done, but you're missing that time, personal time of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and truly, John said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, he has a yoke, and he says, let's do this. Let me take some of yours, you take my yoke. Or let me have yours, you take mine. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you'll find rest under your soul. So when we're going through that and we're not, it's simply the fact that we've got too much of it, and he doesn't have enough of it. I'm talking about that yoke. And the way we are, and this, I don't know if this is a worldwide problem or if it's an American problem, have you ever noticed in your life that when you get a little bit of load, you are bracing to carry more? And when a piece of that load is lifted, you feel like something's missing, and you go get you some more? Because I'm not carrying enough right now. And I was telling Randy, I said, it's like you got all these fires to put out, and you finally get, and really you're not putting them out, you're just keeping them under control because they're burning. And you finally get one out, and you're looking over there and like, oh, something's wrong. You go light a fire in its place just so you have that piece to do. And that's why he says you need to break off with that mentality and come to me. And come to me and rest and seek his face. Psalm 105 says, you know, seek his face forevermore. And we sing that song every once in a while. We'll sing it even as an invitation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, and you want to stay there long enough in that place so that you sense those things losing their hold on you. Because the only one who really ought to have the hold on you is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing to do when you find yourself weighed down with that load of care, like you find yourself now, like I have found myself right now, is seek the Lord's face. Take that time and spend with him until you sense the rest that he intends to give you. I had a pastor call me today, and he said, I just need to visit with you a little bit. He was seeking some counsel. He could hardly get the words out. He started crying. He said, what's that all about? He just had too much, loaded down too much, and even feel a little guilty about pulling back from a few things to go get the rest that he needed from the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't, he'll take you down. So seek his face. Seek the Lord's face. That's the first thing. Turn to Matthew 16. This may seem strange to you in Matthew 16, but it won't after you read it in the context of the message that we're preaching tonight. Matthew chapter 16, look at verses 24 and 25. We're in the middle of some things concerning discipleship. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You look at that thing and go, wait a minute, I've already got a load of care, and now you want me to add to that the cross? How's that going to help? Well, the way it helps is really twofold. First of all, there are many songs. We sang a couple of them tonight about the cross. When I was at the nursing home today, we sang Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I Fain Would Take My Stand. It becomes a shadow in a dry and thirsty land. Okay, that thing about the cross is, first of all, this. That's where the Lord bought you. You are redeemed. And that's where the Lord bought you. And when he bought you, he took possession of your vessel. You are the temple of God. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. And it really helps you to remember that, because what you'll do is you'll take that agenda and kind of step back from it for a minute and say, okay, now let me load this cross up here, because what's on that cross may not be what's on that agenda. And here's the problem. When you try to do what he bought you for and what you want to do, now there's where it gets really tough. So it's about the fact that you're a purchased possession, but it's also about this. The cross, the shadow of the cross, like Paul said, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, it is the place where you die to your will and begin to live to the will of God Almighty. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under more physical, spiritual, and emotional strain than he had ever been at any time in his life. So much so that the Bible said he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. So at that moment, he said, and he really never ended up in this much conflict with God Almighty as he did that night, he said, I don't want it. Let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. All right, there's no way that Jesus Christ could have accomplished both of those things that 24-hour period. He could not have escaped the cup. He could not have jumped in the boat like Jonah going to Tarshish. He couldn't have escaped that and become sin for us that we might be saved. It's impossible. He had to do one or he had to do the other, and the cross was the place of that decision. Now, you know, that's why you want to take up your cross, because when you load up that yoke and burden, which the Lord said is easy, suddenly, it is not about your will and what you want done. It's about his will and what he wants done
through you. And that thing can be, I tell you what, that can stop a lot of frustration. One of the most frustrated places we live is when we are trying to make God's will, when we're trying to make God make His will our will. Now, I've been visiting with some folks. You know, it just so happens, you know, you live through some of this, and it makes it easier for you to see it in the Bible so you can tell somebody else who's trying to go through it and figure it out for themselves. I was talking to a fellow yesterday who's just had a rough road lately. And in the course of that conversation, he poured out his heart in frustration to the Lord and told me about that episode that he had with the Lord. And you know what that is? That was a conflict of wills. God was trying to do something, and he was wanting the Lord to do it a different way. Let me tell you something. We have prayed diligently for Joshua and Caleb to come out. But I'm going to tell you what, our will is not God's will in that matter. And you sit there and frustrate yourself about what he's not doing, he's probably pretty frustrated with what some of us have tried to do that has been contrary to his will. Do you understand? And so what happens is when you take up your cross, you settle down about the burden and load of care that you're carrying. When you realize, you know what, right now God's not interested in doing anything about this thing that's stressing me out so bad. He'll take care of it when he's ready. He will take care of it when he's ready. I will use a personal illustration tonight. I don't like to use you as illustrations of yourself. Then you just shut off and say, I'm not going to talk to the preacher. He's going to use me as an illustration Sunday night. I don't want that. But we've prayed for you, Lynn. You've asked us to about job situations and the whole situation like that. And you know, you wonder, well, Paul Hamilton hadn't come here yet. Some of the things that he's leading you to explore now and make some way for, he wasn't available a month or two ago. So you can pull your hair out or you're going to wait on God. You see? It's like that. If we take up that cross and wait for him to give us direction and try not to get overly stressed out about those things we're trying to force him into, he's not ready to deal with. Okay, so seek his face, and then take up your cross. Here's another one, Psalm 68. Look at verse 19. Psalm 68, look at verse 19. Let this message minister encouragement to you. Don't discourage yourself. If you're like, oh man, that's how I blew it. I should have known better than that. How many times have you got to remind me? Don't do that to yourself. It's already tough enough to carry what you're carrying. Just nourish in it and say, thank God, that's what I needed to do right there. I'll pick it up right here and carry it on. Psalm 68, look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Third thing to do is count your blessings. Count your blessings. When you've got a bad situation you're trying to deal with, or a tough situation, or a heavy situation, and it may be yours, it may be your children's, it may be, you know, it may relate to your health, it may relate to your finances, it may relate to your marriage, it may relate to your job. Who knows, whatever it is, but that thing has just got you, man. You go to sleep with it, you wake up in the middle of the night with it, you get up in the morning. You know what happens? It becomes the principal concern in your life, and all you want to do is throw it off. But you want to finish it. You want that done. You go, let's end this episode in my life. And sometimes they don't end that quickly. Particularly if they're health-related. They just go on, seem like drag on and drag on. And what happens is they become the principal concern in your life, so much so that they dominate your thinking, that that's the only thing going on in your life, and you fail to see the thousands of things that God is doing at the same time that are really a blessing to you, the load of benefits that he's given you because of the prevailing thought of the thing that's bad. Let me take some of you ladies back to your teenage years, which for some of you, that's not very far back there. For the others of you, it's really not that far back there for you either. I helped myself out of that, didn't I? Yeah. You finally have the opportunity to do something social where people are going to notice you, like maybe a date or something where you're going to be noticed, and you wake up in the morning with a pimple. And suddenly, that zit becomes the most important aspect of your entire being, overshadowing your personality, your beautiful hair, your gorgeous eyes, all of your other features, because I've got this problem right here that obviously there's no way to solve. And it's not even something I can cover well without drawing more attention to it. You get the point. Life brings things to you and they become like those pimples. And it's like, man, this is such a bad deal. Well, you know what? There are a lot of things the Lord's doing for you right now that are huge blessings. Count those. And the counting of those benefits that He's loading you with will overshadow and put into perspective the problem you're carrying. Very important. Very, very important. All right, look in, you're in Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And one of the problems about carrying this load of care, being weighed down with this load of care, is you got it all. And all this great thing about many hands make light work, suddenly there aren't any hands. Psalm 142, look at verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You got it all by yourself, baby. Just your big old bad problem and nobody else in the world. Your brothers don't want to help you. Your sister don't want to help you. Nobody at church wants to help you. You got it all by yourself. And it seems to make it heavier. I mean, the load's not any bigger than it was. It's just now you got it all alone. And so the little bit of bitterness that creeps in about it and all that at the same time just seems to add weight and size and magnitude to the problem. Doesn't it? But look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 at the same time. And then I'll tell you what the point is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 is about your adversary, the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is about the Lord and something great. Look at this, what it says. Casting, how much? All your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And He really does. Listen, one of the things you have to remember is you have to remember at times like that, the Lord really does care. You got to remember that. The Lord cares. Remember, the Lord cares. He really does. You know, you sing a song. God will take care of you through every day in every way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And walk out and forget. Some of you are parents, and if you've raised children that are some of you are raising the little ones right now. Some of them, the little ones are not quite as little as they were, and they've grown up a little bit. At that time when they were really little and helpless, and they needed something, you just left them alone, didn't care a bit, did you? Are you kidding me? You're at work, and somebody said, oh, he's got, what's the normal temperature, 98.6? Is that it? Yeah. Oh, little Johnny's got 99. Ah! I got to, you know, turn in for the boss. I got to go home, check on Johnny. Because you cared so much. I mean, 99 could be 105 in 10 minutes. If it's bad. And I'm sounding like I'm exaggerating. The point I'm trying to say is it didn't take you much to get real concerned. You were not going to let anything happen to that baby. And if they got sick and had to stay up all night, you were right there with them and you still go to work and drag all around and come back there and do it all again the next night. Why? Because you cared. Listen, I have good memories of caring for my children when they were little. And you know something? If that phone rings and I pick up that thing and look over there like that and it's one of those kids, you know what I do? I answer it. Still care. I'm dad. What about him? That Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you're sons and daughters of your Father, which is in heaven. If you have and I have the capacity to care for our children as much as we do, how much more he has capacity to care for us as his children. And a lot of times we don't run to him and just let him care for us the way he really cares. He's going to sort it out. He really is. But you got to let him. Listen, if when I was a little kid, and I have fond memories of being a little kid and my parents caring for me. Imagine if they, let's say I can remember the doctor coming to care for me too. You know, I needed a bad flu going on. I needed a shot of penicillin, and that's, you know, like, you know me and needles. Let me die. I'd rather die than go through that, you know. You know, wouldn't I have been stupid to say, I can do this myself. Leave me alone. But we do that with God sometimes, as if he doesn't care. He does. Seek the Lord's face, take up your cross, count your blessings. Remember, the Lord cares. And then this one. On Wednesday night, you've been to this. Your Bible is well worn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't forget to pray. You say, you should have put that first. Sometimes prayer to us becomes mechanical and doesn't involve some of these other things. Don't forget to pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. Let him care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your prayer, let requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, there is peace in that kind of prayer that you cannot handle or get by handling that stuff yourself. And you'll know when you've prayed sufficiently. Say, how do I know if I prayed enough? You'll know when you know that that peace of God is keeping your heart and your mind. If that peace of God is not keeping your heart and your mind, then you hadn't prayed enough. Say, well, I'm tired. And to exercise myself in that spiritual thing at that time would be tough. I'd just soon get on the internet and check the weather. And I say that, and you kind of giggle and said, who would do that? Us. Let me check my email. Maybe that'll make me feel better. Maybe somebody sent me one of those clever little forwarded emails, and that'll cheer me up. You've never done that? Yeah, everybody's over going stiff as a board. I can't admit it. The people behind me might see me do this. Relax. Relax. We've all done it. Relax. We've all done it. And you look back on that, you go, boy, that was dumb. God's not going to beat you up for that. He's just using this as an opportunity to remind you, don't forget to pray. And pray there long enough so you sense that peace. You'll know that thing is lifted. You say, you know what? I can go on now. I got my cross. I got a loving Father who cares for me. I put it in his hands in prayer. I can leave it with him. I know he's got it. I've had a good time of fellowship with him. And man, I have seen the blessings of the Lord. This little problem will pass. And it does. And it really does. So remember those things. When you find yourself weighted down with a load of care like most of us do today, and I don't mean today in our generation, I mean this very moment when you got here tonight. And when you see that in some other folks, and your pastor sees it in his own life, let's remember to do these things. And it'll make it a lot easier to handle. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight to be encouraged from the words of God. We ask you, please, Lord, take a little simple practical lesson like this and put it in our minds so we don't forget it. For Jesus' sake. Amen.